listening to Lighting Up Real Estate with your host, Kendall Luckett.
Are you ready to become a real estate investor, but don't know how to get started? And you want an easy step-by-step guide for beginners? Well, download my free real estate investing blueprint. The link is in the show notes. Or just go to mylifeinrealestate.com. Episode 42, How to Buy the Block and Create Mixed-Use Development. As always, the goal of this show is to shine a light on real estate investors, strategies, systems, and ideas to help grow your real estate investing business. On the show today, I have Dwight Hall, realtor, real estate developer, and investor from Arkansas. But he is just like many of us. He saw a problem in our community and figured out a way to solve it. There's a quote that I love, "Alone we can do little, but together we can do so much." Well, Dwight created not just an opportunity for himself, but he also created opportunities for other minority real estate investors, business owners, and even the community. He is taking a district that was once minority owned and he's revitalizing it. In this interview, he shares the process, his strategy, how everyone is working together, and the ultimate end goal. In my mind before this interview, I really thought this was a Black Wall Street being recreated, but he was doing it alone. And it was completely the opposite. After you're done listening to this interview, you are going to be so inspired, you will want to go and do the exact same process in your community. This is one of those take notes conversations. Let's go ahead and get started.
Dwight.
Hello.
Welcome to Lighting Up Real Estate.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I am so happy you are here. We have so much to talk about.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Okay. So we are talking about how to buy the block, and then create a mixed-use development.
Yep.
I just have to exhale after that.
Yeah.
This is already going to be dope. Okay. I don't even know where to start. Okay. Let's start with your background. Where are you located?
So my name is Dwight. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. I went to a small private HBCU in the heart of Little Rock, Arkansas Baptist College. And my mom, everybody on my mom's side is from Jamaica. And that's really where kind of I got my start in investing in real estate in an informal way. And so had a lot of failures and learned a little bit, learned a lot, and really just trying to share with people and help people. So got my real estate license and started working with people, trying to get them in homes, and saw a problem and tried to fill a void.
Okay, so you are pretty much, you're going to share in this interview, like the solution to the problem that we see. Because I think this interview is going to be so amazing because we've all gone into those communities. Black communities, and we see the vacant properties, the businesses and the residential, and we always try to figure out, like, what can we do with that?
Yep.
This is an eyesore. It's not providing any economy, nor jobs, nor housing. It's solving a huge problem, and you're doing this.
Trying.
And this is so incredibly dope. And it's like, was it, okay, so take us back to the moment, like, when you saw this and then how the steps you went from there to make.
So I got my real estate license. I've always been inspired or been around real estate indirectly. And I got my real estate license really to help people. I wanted to see people get into homes. I love home ownership. I started noticing I want to help us. I want to help people that look like us. But a lot of times we couldn't get qualified for homes. Right. And so that's really depressing. You know, when you're looking at homes and, you know, you're an agent, you know, first time home buyers, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I want this. And I want, and, you know, of course, first time home buyers, they want a 17 bedroom house and waterfalls. And I'm just like, hey, calm it down.
Yeah.
And so we started talking about different things. But what would happen is they couldn't get approved. And so I said, OK, well, it's not a good feeling. And so I started thinking, let's create a pipeline. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, maybe I can help with credit repair and kind of put them in a pipeline and then get them ready to one day buy a house. But then the other part of that is, you know, if you only make so much money, you know, there's only so much house you can afford. So having worked in education for about 10 years, you know, teachers don't make that much, unfortunately. And there's a challenge. There's people who, you know, median salary is about 35 to 40,000. That's not going to be able to get into a home. So it really started kind of getting my wheels going. I'm thinking like, hey, how can I fix this problem? And so I really started looking around and I started seeing these houses, dilapidated homes, different opportunities. And I would see old businesses, just full neighborhoods full of opportunity. And then I realized we're not doing anything with them.
No.
And so the two things that became most frustrating is One, you would see people that look like us selling our property for like $5,000, $3,000, and I'm like, no, you know, don't sell what grandma and auntie, you know, worked so hard for. Yeah. And then two, you would see other people coming into our neighborhoods and then making them look amazing, and then we didn't have the funds to even get where our whole family have been, you know, forever. So that was, you know, a big problem for me. So I really just started from there and started looking at property, started looking at land and saying, look, trying to identify an area. And so what I did was I identified a neighborhood and this great neighborhood in Little Rock. It's about 7 minutes from the airport, which is a good thing. 5 minutes from downtown. It's around the corner from a historic district. Also, there's other development going on. And so I started taking my time and buying lots just little by little. And so the important part for me was to make sure that I bought the lots first because I want to be able to take my time and do something with them. And so the goal is eventually to put people in homes, really put good people in good homes in a good community, right?
Yeah.
And maybe offer homes at a price point that are under $130,000. So that's the goal. Now, I know builders everywhere probably laughed and lumber yard, people who understand the lumber crisis understand that, you know, the humor in that. But, you know, it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done. It's a mindset thing.
Wow. Okay, so there's so much to unpack in all of that, what you just said. I mean, this is just so amazing because like you are actually doing it. So, I mean, but it sounds so much easier than said.
Sure.
I mean, it sounds easier than actually to do this because like you're having to work with other community people and then you having to find the properties. Like, so how did you go about doing all that? Were you trying to, did you work with wholesalers, the government? Like, how did you secure all these properties?
A lot of different ways. So, you know, so again, I got a really informal introduction to real estate through my grandmother. And so a lot of stuff later on came like putting things into perspective when we started learning the terms and different things that go along with it. So, you know, now you start seeing things called driving for dollars. So I'm going through the neighborhoods. I'm looking at grass grown up. I'm looking at old houses or mailbox full. I'm looking for tax lots. I'm looking for people who say, hey, look, I don't want to come back to the area. My family owned the house and they left it to me. So you think you might be interested in buying it or could I move it? And That's really been, you know, part of the strategy. My biggest thing is I want to focus on houses that are sub 10,000. That's a very, very big component in what I want to do is because if you can find lots and you can find houses that are sub 10,000, there's a little more room to do things with them. And of course, you know, as an investor, you never know what you're going to find, right? Anything can pop out. So it's wearing that hat as an investor. And then also at this point now trying to move into that development space and become, you know, a developer.
So were you moving silently? Like you didn't have any competition?
Absolutely. Well, no, but here, okay. So I'm glad you said that. So here's my thing. I always believe in being strategic and methodical for sure. But I would say I believe in collaboration over competition, like all day. Wow. Collaboration over competition all day because I'm prepared for competition, of course. But my thing is why, you know, we can get together and learn from each other. And quite frankly, when you're talking about the conversation of buying properties and buying land. The thing is we put it in terms of generational wealth and who has the buying power versus people in our community. Because of historical reasons, it's going to take more of us, right? We can be more impactful if we do things together. So I'm a big proponent of, you know, I know in our community, we're like, hey, you turn 18, get out. Don't contact us for money. Don't do this. We're not putting any money together, any of that. And in other communities, it's absolutely the opposite, right? So I'm like, hey, mom, hey, grandma, look, this is the plan. Hey, frat brothers, hey, people from college that I know who are serious. Let's kind of put money together and work on the project. And so I think another thing that's interesting is a lot of people look at real estate investing. When you do it in a group, a lot of people look at JVs or joint ventures. I really look at it as developing in concert. So it's just like an orchestra. You know, you've got different pieces all kind of doing the same thing, but it's like, hey. So I'm just like, hey, you know, hey, I'm going to go over here and get these three houses. Hey, Kendall, you get these four houses. Now, Kendall, what are you going to do with your houses? Okay, I'm going to do this with my house. Let's make them kind of. And so that way I kind of feel like we have a better, it's a tag
plan. Win-win situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my. Okay. Okay. So now my mind is everywhere now. So like, are you getting together, having these mastermind meetings saying like, okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, like you have to sit down and talk with people and kind of show them the vision. I think that's the hard part though, because everybody, like, it's human nature to rave about the butterfly, right?
Yeah.
But disregard the caterpillar. And I'm like, you got to see the big picture. Like, you got to see. And that's the frustrating part with us, is because I'm like, I want to show you. And I come in the room and I'm like, guys, look, these five old houses. Foundation is good, but it looks like this. And people come there like, oh, that looks terrible. I wouldn't buy it. And I'm just like,
this is amazing. Okay, so what? I have so many questions. Okay, so when you created this mastermind,
yeah,
like you said, you work with people that you know. You started with family, you started with classmates, frat brothers. Did you have any people that had their egos in the way? Like,
oh, always. I mean, there's always going to be that.
Yeah. You
know, but I think it's being transparent.
You know?
I think it's saying, hey, look, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm trying to do. And let's see how we can work together. And typically that kills that. You know, it's like, hey, I don't care if you have more properties than me. I don't care. You know, none of that matters. It's about, you know, like, let's say, hey, how can we do this? And then to be quite honest, you know, I told you, I run a lot of conversations. I run a lot of things by my grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, how do you feel about this? Because, you know, she started investing in real estate with my great-grandfather, in Jamaica and here. And there's a lot of stuff and a lot of lessons that I learned from her. So she definitely has some pointers. And like I said, it's all informal, but I understood it. You know, I can put the pieces together and I get it, you know. So
you gotta write a book. I would love to read it. Oh my God. Oh, no. I would love to talk to her on the podcast. I'm just, I would love to talk to your grandmother. Okay. So you pretty much tell them, this is a vision.
Yep.
This is a goal.
Yep.
This is what I would ask you to do.
Yep.
So did you have people that were all the way in, or did you have some, was it like a conversion? You had to talk to this many people to get this amount that stayed and is actually doing the investing part?
I think it's both, because you have people who see the vision immediately and they're like, oh, this is great. And that's why I love working with investors. But then you have some people who have the means, but they just can't see it. You know, I think we're programmed to work. And like I told you, I can't remember which episode it was, but one of your guests was saying, hey, we have this mentality to get this good job and then go work and get this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, you've got to do something with it. And so what typically, believe it or not, this is crazy. One of outside of my grandmother and a few other things that influenced me in real estate, I'll tell you one thing that typically helps people get the picture clear is Monopoly.
Yeah.
Like if you think about Monopoly and you're like, hey, you know, when you're playing a game, and this really, to be honest with you, is the strategy. Everybody skips the first row. Everybody skips the first row, right? Everybody's like, they're like, look, I want to put some hotels on Boardwalk and Park Place. And I'm like, no, you know, that's not how you do it. So listen, check this out. When I was a kid, that's why I said I'm familiar with Decatur. I used to play Monopoly with my Aunt Benny, my Aunt Amalia, and my Aunt Minty, and they would tear me up. And I'm trying to go for the Garvin Gardens and all these places, and they're just getting the first row. And then every time I pass, it's like, boop. Getting killed. Wow. And so the thing is I think that's the same strategy here, is we got to start with the houses that we have, that we own. It's not hard to get, because we can talk to grandma, we can talk to aunt or whoever who might not want the house and has moved on to another place, and see what we can do. And that's the strategy. So it has helped. It does help explain it to people, and then they see it. And then sometimes they need coaching, and sometimes it's like, hey, I know this, I can help you with this, but also let me put you in contact with a good contractor.
Okay.
Let me put you in contact with somebody who's a good architect, and then they can verify what I'm saying. And that's also why I like the idea more so of developing a concert, because it's verifiable, right?
Right.
You don't have to take what I'm saying. You can go run your own numbers, go look at everything, go find your own architects, go find whoever. And typically on these calls, I have a couple of builders, I have a couple of architects. I typically will try to get like one engineer that always will be like, hey, I'm here for you. Hey, I'm here for you. And that's what people have done. I let them kind of do their own research and then just go from there.
Okay, so what about the government? Is the mayor involved, the building commission, any?
I'll tell you, that's one thing that's it has its challenges there. Okay. Because I definitely live in a smaller city and everybody, it's a big little town. But I still feel like there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. And the initiative is to, you know, put good people in good homes and build a community. So it's not hurting anything, you know.
Right.
So, I think that's the biggest thing, is just getting an understanding of what we're trying to do and then moving in that direction. So, yeah. I think that's it. So it's been a fun ride and trying, you know, I've definitely had my fails as an investor. Mm-hmm. And so it's not something that I just jumped into without having my own properties. Like I said, I've had a multitude of stories that I can tell you where I failed as an investor, but that helped me see how to move in this space a little bit better.
Okay. So on this Monopoly board,
yes,
Black Wall Street that you're creating,
mm-hmm.
what is going to be there? Like, what are you guys building?
So what I would like to do is, in addition to the homes, the other thing that I want to do is that the neighborhood that I found, or the neighborhood that where I'm at, is on the outskirts of the neighborhood. There's an area where mm-hmm. we're trying to revitalize a business district. And in that business district, you know, again, this is where collaboration comes into play. There's already a gentleman there who has a shop. He's got a shopping center. Right. There's someone else there who has office space. And so we came together and said, hey, look, let's revitalize this area and do something with it, you know, put mm-hmm. black money and circulate the black dollar. And so that really was the mission, you know. And so that's why I said collaboration is so important. I couldn't say that it's just like, hey, Dwight thought of this or mm-hmm. and did this all by himself. It's like, no, I went and talked to these people and was like, hey, can you do this? Or are you a part of this? Or do you want to be a part of this? And then again, there's some investors they're very strong. I know one, I have one in mind who's a very strong investor, but he just didn't see it. He's like, I can't see it. And I have to respect that, you know,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I give everybody the opportunity to be like, hey, show me where it's wrong, or show me what I'm doing wrong. And then mm-hmm. we learn from there and we get better. So.
Wow. So do you know what businesses you're going to be creating?
Outside, there's already things there. So like I said, there's an auto park there. There's a hair salon. There's a barber shop there. There's office spaces that, and I'll leave that up to him to decide. You know, we all decide what we want to put in our own businesses. But I would love to see like a grocery store or an event space,
yeah.
Something like that. So you have, you know, a couple of different things that could, the neighborhood could feed off of. And then they both could kind of go hand in hand and work with each other to get bigger and better. And then I think what's cool about it is it's a model that can be replicated. You know, this isn't something that could just be done, you know, in Little Rock, obviously. Black Wall Street, right?
That was my next question. Like, are you writing all of this down, how you're doing this?
Yeah, yeah. This is
amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, like I said, I have influences, you know, so mm-hmm. the crazy thing is, have you ever heard the saying where they say, don't reinvent the wheel, just polish the spokes?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. I think, you know, you see places like Black Wall Street. I'm going to tell my age. I'm a little bit of a movie nerd, but do you remember Strictly Business, the movie? It's an old movie. So you have to watch it now, but it's a crazy movie with Tommy Davidson Jr. in it. And I forgot the guy's name from the Cosbys, who was Denise's husband, but he was a real estate investor.
Oh, okay. And so you're going to have me go back and find
it. You got to watch it. You're going to text me and be like, I'm like, I know, right?
Okay. So how is it related to Strictly Business? Because in that movie, he was a real estate investor that was... Yeah.
He was a developer in that movie. I'd say the part I liked is that he was a developer and he was looking for funds to grow the business. And the thing mm-hmm. was, he was looking everywhere, looking for funds to have a building bought. And he was looking for everywhere outside of the community. And so, you know, Halle Berry's in the movie. And of course, he's dating Halle Berry and trying to figure things out.
I remember that. I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yep. And then at the end of the movie, there were guys that he kind of, you know, he snubbed, he didn't pay attention to, but it was a group of brothers and they were all black and they owned a bank. Uh-huh. And so they came in and they ran the numbers, but it was cool because it was like, we don't need Superman. We're our own Superman. We can do that for ourselves. And so that was my favorite part. I was like, look, we can do it. You know,
right.
We've got builders, we've got architects, we've got smart people, intelligent people in our community who we can do it. We just gotta see it, you know, and collaborate yeah. and make it work. So
pretty much everybody involved in this are all African Americans.
Yep. Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
Okay, are you guys documenting this to make it documentary?
Yeah, we are. So we are slowly but surely. But like I said, it's really now is the part where we're getting ready to kind of move into looking at building. And we're getting ready to look at a couple of other projects that have to do with like investing in the rehab part of it. So we are documenting, but it was really, really important to get the land. So again, yeah. moving slowly and quietly, I guess.
That's it.
Got to, because
I like the fact that you aren't like trying to rush this.
Yeah, just, no.
Like you said, you're strategic about this.
Yeah, you have to be. But I mean, just think about investing in real estate. It's so different from being, I think, even being a realtor, because you know it's sales driven. Mm-hmm. Everybody yeah. who's an agent is like sell. What'd you sell this month? What's your goals for the year? And it's like, yeah. oh, this is a completely different race. So it's the same thing. You know, it takes time.
I'm so glad you said that because I think a lot of real estate investors think they have to get the house, the first property, like tomorrow. Like, no.
No.
It doesn't work like that. This is a slow and steady situation, and that's how you win, because you've got to buy it right. And that's exactly what you're doing with this. So do you have like a projected like date or when you think this is going to be completed?
Yeah. So we're going to start with the business district and get stuff going there first.
Okay.
Because there's already businesses there. And then the plan is for next year to start building. So I've already reached out to some builders. And we're going from there. Just we're gonna have to start getting the building going probably next year after it kind of probably like March, April, somewhere in there, I'm hoping. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, that really is what it is. And I mean, I've actually identified a couple of other people. Now, I will tell you this, I've been identified a couple that isn't Black, and they're in a neighborhood right next to me, but they're a husband and wife duo. Man, they're phenomenal. I mean, they've helped me so much and walked me through some steps that I haven't been and kind of showed me some things that I need to know. And that's been a great deal of help. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
you've secured everything. Is there anything else that you still haven't gotten that you need?
No, I mean, there's still lots available. There's definitely still lots available. But so I'm the principal at my business, D-Hall Homes, but I'm the managing partner of another LLC where we're doing the buying and holding there. And with that one, we've allocated about 20 to 25 lots for the project. So my thing is again, it's not about being the only person building. I want more people to come in. Yeah. I would love to have more investors come in. You know, I would love to see more people come in who are more experienced really and could say, hey, Dwight, you know, this project really, you know, it's a good project, but if you just change this or you just did this, boom, it'd be a little bit better. And I mean, that's how you learn. It's literally no different from investing. Absolutely. And so when I talk to people even about investing in real estate, you know, and putting that hat on, you know, it's like, hey, let me show you where I messed up, or let me show you why these are the important things that you need to focus on.
Right.
You're looking for an older property, or these are the important things that's most important. Yeah. So you want to know what to do, you know? So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, this is just so freaking good. So if someone is hearing this and they're like, okay, I want in, we can literally just contact you and we could come there, see the land and see what's available for us to build and develop and be a part of this.
Yep. So what I can do is I can reach on Facebook at D-Hall Homes and on Instagram at D-Hall Homes. And man, it's just, I'm a direct message away. I have my actual number on there. So I'm always, you call me or talk to me. And, you know, a lot of times I do neighborhood tours. A lot of times I walk people through the neighborhood. I'm sure a lot of people in the neighborhood is like, why is he always walking the streets? But that's why, you know, walk in the neighborhood. I also will tell people like, hey, possibly look at this, look at these lots. I will tell you, though, I focus heavily on investors because people who are savvy investors, because they don't need their hand held as much.
Yeah.
It's not to say that I don't want to work with anybody. I wouldn't work with anybody because there's still so much I have to learn. However, you know, savvy investors can kind of come in and they can take what I'm saying and digest it and then go do their own homework and say, hey, you've got something. Right. And that's really, to me, that's been the best part about it is I actually haven't had to do that much convincing. It's sitting people down and saying, like, look, this is what I see. And then they ask me a couple questions about the numbers. And I said, hey, look, this is what I got. This is what I see. Hey, we're this close from downtown. Hey, there's a historic district right here. Hey, this is where the airport is. Can you see it? And then they start saying, yeah. Like, oh, wow. And then you start going back and look at some of the older pictures and you see that, like, you know, there was buildings here. There was businesses here, barbershops here.
And everybody's going to be able to walk to these businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's in a span of about four or five streets. Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. And so, man, it's a really cool project.
Okay. So is there like a, and I guess I have to be very careful what I'm about to say, because I know you're intentionally wanting to bring that community back and speak to that community that cannot afford $200,000 to $300,000 homes. Mm-hmm. So pretty much we're putting a cap on, no, we don't want the large three-story townhome community in that.
I'll tell you this, there's actually another developer in the area who he's building some beautiful two-story homes. And I mean, homes that are well over 200,000. I think that's great. My focus has just been, I want to do homes that are under a certain price point, and I want to remodel homes under a certain price point because I know people need them.
Right. Know? And so that now, everybody can live in that community, not just a certain price.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking at everything. I mean, whether it's a small home, whether it's a container home, which is very interesting to me. And I've been peeking my head into that space and seeing what that's going to take, you know? So it's to me, it's like I said, there's so many ways a person can tell, you know, I'm looking for the one right way, the one way to do it. Mm-hmm. That's really what it's been for me, is really sitting back and looking and saying, hey, how can I do this, or how can I make this work? So
this is just so amazing. Have you already named it, that district?
Look, so here's the crazy thing. It already has a name. So the area is the Meadowbrook area in Little Rock. And the business area that we're focusing on is the Art Street area, which we're hoping to either call the Art Street Business District or the Art Street Business Corridor. And you can actually look for the Exploratory Group on Facebook. Oak Street Business District Exploratory Group. And again, so here's the thing is I really dislike when people come into a neighborhood or come into a new place and start changing stuff without asking the people that have already been there. Right. So that's literally the difference between gentrification and like community reinvesting. So to me, that's what you just said. So, you know, to me, I want to be a part of the community. And that's what it's about. Good homes, good people in a good community. So I wouldn't dare change the name. The name of the community has been here for years. The business has been here for years. You know, I've had family grow up in the area. So even listening to some of the older people in the community talk about the lumber store that was there and working there, or the drugstore that was in the area, or the diner that was in the area, you know, it's good stuff. And so I think that I wouldn't dare change. That's kind of disrespectful to the people who've come before me. So.
This is amazing. Oh my God. Okay. So the people that you just mentioned that are still there, how are they feeling about this? Like, are they, how they feel about investors sometimes? Are they like worried that you guys might change it? Or are they excited about this? Like, what are their feelings with this?
No, they feel good. I mean, I think talking to them, going through and kind of talking to them, explaining what I'm doing or saying, hey, look, this is what I want to do. A lot of them are like, hey, keep going, keep trying to push for it. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think that's a good thing. I think, and it sounds crazy, but the biggest scare is when people that don't look like us come into our communities and they're
Exactly.
So that's really been the biggest, you know, that's really the biggest issue. It's not to say that people that don't look, all people who don't look like us are bad. That's definitely not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I know that historically there's a fear there for older people. And so they're naturally going to feel the way, you know, and you have to respect.
Right.
You have to respect that. So.
Right. Because that's kind of like what's in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to ask that question, because it's really not even more so of someone that doesn't look like us. It's more so us, you know, that is gentrifying and pushing and, you know, all of that. So that's why I was just kind of curious, like, were they trusting you on this situation? Or, but that's good.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, like I said, as an investor, you know, I've got properties in the area that I've used for, I think that's how we connected with Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And so I've got projects in the area that they've seen. There's other projects that I've done where they're like, hey, you know, this is a really, really good project. Wow, I like what you're doing. Is this what the rest of the things could look like? You know? And so the other part, I guess we didn't even talk about this, but the other part is there's a school in the middle of the neighborhood.
I was going to ask you that question about the school district. Okay.
Yeah. So they're actually starting an initiative called Community Schools. So it's kind of right on time. And the school's called Booker T. Washington. And so I'm excited with working with their community liaison. And so even with that, we've come up with ideas to where we're like, hey, let's put a track around the school, like a little small walk path, so you know, hey, this is half a mile, this is a quarter mile, this is a mile. So we're really taking all different aspects of making a good community and just putting it together.
Yeah. Are you using grants as well, or is this all?
Nope. All self-funded. And that's why it's taken so long and had a lot of sleepless nights.
100% ownership. Everyone has ownership in this.
Yeah, that was one thing that was most important to me, is that, you know, everybody owned everything. So that's, again, why I focus on lots and houses sub 10,000, because it's doable, you know.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of investors would frown. They say, oh, you got to use the bank and you got to do this. But, you know, my strategy is a little bit different. I'm like, hey, let's focus on houses or property that's affordable, fix them up, do what we need to do, either show plans, get it appraised, and then go back and say, hey, look, this is what the value is. But then when we have an ask, our ask isn't for 100,000 or 200,000. Yeah. We're going to the bank and say, hey, look, let's get a million. Let's get 2 million, right? Let's get a larger number. And that's what it's been. But yeah, everything is owned out and out, free and clear. I'm very, very big on that. So the properties we have, everything we have is, I would say at this point, 90-95%. In this area, it's 100% free and clear. But as far as an investor, everything that I have is 95-96%.
That's amazing.
Free and clear. I'm in the process of closing on one property, which is a duplex. Mm-hmm. And it's actually in between two HBCUs, which is crazy. I don't know if you knew that, but Arkansas is Little Rock is one of the few places where we've got about four HBCUs about 10 miles.
Yeah.
Of each other. So we've got Philander Smith, Arkansas Baptist College, Shorter College, and University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. Mm-hmm. So, but the house is kind of in between Philander and Arkansas Baptist College. So I've got a really cool plan for that duplex. As a graduate of Arkansas Baptist College, there's some things I want to do there too. So it's going to be exciting.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
And you've been doing this quietly.
Yeah, quietly for a while, man. It's just it's about being, you know, being strategic. And then you know, you have people who you're trying to show your friends and you're excited and you're like, look, I want to blah blah blah, and they're like, eh, I don't get it. You know, I've got friends. I literally remember, I'll tell you this. I ended up getting one house. It's about 2,200 square feet, okay. And it's a house and it's on a lot. Mm-hmm. I paid $3,500 for this house. And so
do they have any more?
so we pay, and I remember showing somebody
2,200 square foot house for $3,500.
Yeah. But I remember showing the person who was helping me, who helped close, and I showed it to them, and they were like, I was like, man, I'm so excited. Like, this is going to be the center of the whole community. You know, we're going to do a mixed use building here and it's going to be great. Like, I'm trying to put a grocery store on the bottom, or maybe I'm just going through my ideas, like, yeah, business, blah, 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 blah. It'd be so cool. And he was like, I don't see it. I don't understand why you're excited about that house. Wow. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, and you get to a point as an entrepreneur where you don't take any offense to it. You know, it's not personal, but you know, if everybody could see what you saw, then I don't think it would be vision, you know, it's yours. But,
I can think of so many opportunities I've missed if I would have believed or listened to someone else that I shared that. I wouldn't even have this podcast.
Absolutely.
I had the idea, I shared it with one person and they were like, black people don't listen to podcasts.
Right.
First response.
Right. Which is
if crazy. If I would listen to that, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Man, which is crazy. But I mean, like I said, I can tell you, like I said, my first house, the first house that I bought independently of my family was in 2009. And it was in an extremely rough part of Little Rock. And so I remember, man, just getting that house and, you know, I'm going through first time investor. Don't laugh. I'm digging up the dirt. I'm getting ready to plant some plants and, you know, make it look nice.
Of course. For tenants.
And the guy helping was laughing and he was like, what are you doing, man? And I remember he was kind of giving me the game. But as I was telling other people about it, they were just like, man, why are you buying in that area? Why are you doing this? Like, why do you even want to? And the thing is I hit my head so many times with that property or with that project, man. I'm telling you, like, I remember paying to have an AC unit installed. And the guy who installed it took forever. I mean, forever to get it installed. And then when he finally did, he had his brother come back the next day and steal it out. So, you know. to not understanding why you don't want copper underneath a house and people cutting your copper and things like that. I mean, it's just, yeah. I'm not going on and on and on about, you know, the struggles that I've had with it. But I think that's a good thing is once you stick with it, you know, and you see it, you see that light at the end of the tunnel, it's the best feeling ever, you know. And then again, that's also why I think there's a difference. You know, I differentiate between entrepreneurship and the hustle, right? Mm-hmm. Because anybody can be an entrepreneur. You know, that's the easy part, right? The entry barrier to entrepreneurship is super, super simple, but it's the hustle and that grind and that grit that you have to have, like, you know, as an investor to keep you in.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So this is just amazing to me. And I have I still have so many questions about
it. Please, ask away.
Because it's just like you putting all this together and then it's like you got it. It made sense. Were you a part of anything else like this before? Like,
no, I mean, I literally, so I'll tell you.
I'm just still trying to figure out how this gave you this vision and you just
did it. It's literally like, I literally was, like I said, I grew up around real estate indirectly and my grandmother owned properties, still has them to this day in a good bit in Florida, in the Miami area. Mm-hmm. And she's got some elsewhere and elsewhere in Jamaica. I'll say that. And I mean, she always was like, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. But the funny part is when I got ready to do it and I was like, hey, grandma, look, I'm getting ready. She's like, no, go do it yourself.
Like, wow.
But I think that taught me so much because she was always there for me to bounce ideas off of. And literally she's walked properties with me and said, hey, yeah, this looks good. You know, 90 something years old, you know, 92 this month and walking through and saying, hey, look, this is what this looks good. This, I wouldn't do this. I would do this. So that's where a lot of it came from, you know.
So she definitely believed that you could do this project.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, definitely thankful to her, my mom, people like my girlfriend who are always in my corner because they've seen the late night and the get up early. Right.
Right.
The you know, the work boots go on and go spraying, you know, spraying grass to keep the lots low, or, right. or boarding up houses, or putting people out of houses that don't need to be in houses. So it's, I mean, it's a challenge, but you know, it's that's where it came from. And then, like I said, again, collaboration, looking at other people in the area and seeing what's being done. You know, you can't, it's a frustrating feeling to see any neighborhood get taken over by somebody.
Exactly. This is why this is so amazing, because we get frustrated and we talk about it, but we're not doing anything.
Yep.
And I think it's not so that we're not doing anything because we're just talking about it. We just don't know how to do it.
Right.
And you're doing this.
Right.
That's what I think. It's like, okay, how in the world do I get whatever Dwight's got and put it into me so I can do the exact same thing?
Well, I tell you, I tell this, like, I talk with investors and I work with people on becoming investors. And so the one thing that I kind of talk to them about is a lot of people focusing on the money and like, how do you get the money?
Yeah.
Listen, you're gonna find your way to get the money. You're gonna need it. This is real estate. You gotta have it.
Yeah.
So you're just working another job, doing whatever you have to do, grinding out, you're gonna get it. But I think the parts that we skip over that are very, very important is just having the knowledge or being able to understand like what's going on. Do you know how many times I've started a project or worked with a project in my earlier years and got ran over by a bad contractor because they smelled blood in the water and they were like, oh, like, I'm gonna run a checkup, you know? And so for me, it's simple things. So like now I'm telling people like, hey, look, do you understand when you're looking at a house, the first things you should be looking at is like the roofing, the foundation, the electrical, the plumbing. These are your big ticket items. You know what I'm saying? Do you know when an old house, do you know what termite look like? Do you know what termite damage looks like? Do you understand, you know, the difference between crawl space and a slab, or, you know, just understanding what's going on with the house, you know? So you know what a good buy is. Do you know if the doorway looks a little tilted, right? You know, the might have foundation problems, or the floors feel slanted. I mean, it's just little stuff that you should know. And I think that's where we get beat up on. And so people who have disposable income go invest, they have a bad experience, and they're like, I'm done. I'm never doing it again. And I'm like, no, you got to stick with it. So I think this project takes away a lot of the apprehension for people, because you're surrounded with people who, if you want to come to the area and flip, or you want to come into the area and redo a house, I'm here. I'm going to connect you with other people who I'm going to say, hey, look, this is a good person who's licensed, bonded, insured. They're going to take care of everything.
Here's so you're providing the resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That makes
absolutely.
A lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I walk a property with a person, say, hey, look, this is what I think, you know, but still I would get a second opinion. Even when I buy a house, even I can look at stuff and say, oh yeah, I see this. I still have a home inspector. I still get a home inspector. I still get one. You still need it.
Mm-hmm. Right? So especially with investors, because you know, we're all about the money and the return and all that. And I'm guilty of it. I fall in love with the house. I still do, even though I tell everybody you're not supposed to fall in love with the product. I do it. That's just how it makes me want to just finish the thing. I have to love it.
Right.
If I do that, then it's kind of like, I miss this. I miss that. And I wanted to, in my eyes, everything's going to work out. You know, like in a bad relationship, like, no, but I see this person, but no, Kendall, they're not for you. But I'll keep trying to make it work.
Right.
And that's the same thing with houses. So it's kind of like, no, I need to get somebody, a third person.
Yep.
To look at this, because I'm already in love with it and it's probably the worst deal ever.
Yep. And that's the hard thing. That's the hard thing to do. I'll tell you this is I definitely have feelings for the area. You know, I definitely love the area because I want to see it grow. But I also that's why it's good to have other investors come in and look, because they'll say, hey man, I really don't see it. Or I've had people challenge me, you know, and I'm like, okay, wow.
That would happen. Of course, you're gonna have people challenge you.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you this: I was reading this book, "Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter" by 50 Cent, and it's a crazy book. Like, if you know his personality, and you see his personality online, you're like, what? But to read his book, and he's like, the reason he said people think I'm confrontational and I go after people, but he's like, I really look for the challenge. He's like, I'm looking for the challenge because it's a way for me to identify an opportunity for me to grow. So I'm looking for the opportunity. And I really thought that was cool.
Wow.
Like not taking offense that's to someone challenging.
Yeah,
like go look for it, you know? And I mean, he talked about a lot of cool stuff in that book, like having to do with like the 48 laws of power.
Yeah.
Also Richest Man in Babylon.
He partnered with that author.
And
I read that book.
Yep. So it's cool stuff that he puts in the book just about mindset and having the right having the right approach. And I think that's so important, you know, taking on a project like this, because, you know, Kendall, I'll tell you, I don't have equipment. I don't have backhoes. I don't have the things to go build all of this stuff, but it's just about believing. And so, you know, you have to believe in yourself more than other people doubt you. Right. So it's kind of like, you gotta have to kind of put the blinders on and like say, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to happen. And that's it. That's it.
This is so, Oh my gosh. Okay. I want to get into financially lit, but this whole thing.
That's the way.
I don't. I mean, so how many investors are you working with?
So, to be honest with you, right now it's my company, and I just started. As far as investors buying up areas in the land, I've bought a majority of the land myself. So I'm just now introducing other people. And like I said, after this podcast, this will be people finding out.
Of course. Right. Yes, the bag.
Right. But I bought a majority of them, but I've always been transparent with everybody that I talk with and said, hey, look, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's been investors who are interested, and they say, hey, look, I don't really want to do a new construction. I really, really, really want to focus on a flip. So I'm like, all right, cool. If an old house becomes available or another one becomes available, then, hey, we'll talk. You know, we'll make that happen. But right now it's been the land. It's been buying the land.
Have you, like, because of the culture that's there, have you thought about maybe even like a bed and breakfast or a small hotel? Like, just to visit something like this is amazing.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, like, I haven't gone that big yet. There is a place within the area where we're doing the commercial district where I have land. And like I said, I've got some ideas on what I want to put there. And I am recently taking on a partner to kind of build that a corner of that area. But as far as in the neighborhood, I mean, I really think Airbnb, I think a lot of people look over Airbnb, but I think it's really a great asset because everybody can be a part of spurring economic development. Yeah. You'd be surprised. Sometimes you don't want to stay in a hotel. Sometimes you want to go somewhere in the city and get some good food, right? And kind of see and go experience the city. So with where the neighborhood is, are you familiar with Central High School?
I've heard of Central High School.
Okay. So we're about 5 minutes from Central High School where the Little Rock Nine were.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Little Rock Nine. Yes.
So, and then in the same area, there's a world renowned fish place that a lot of people don't know about. A lot of people know about the fish place if you're from here, but it's called Lass's Inn. It's a great fish place. Wow. Sims Barbecue is another world renowned place. So I think Airbnb can be such an asset, but I think the challenge that we're facing now, and so currently in the process of figuring out what's going to happen with that, but we aren't so Airbnb friendly. The city isn't so Airbnb friendly. But the one thing that I do love is that they're open to having discussions about what does it look like to have Airbnb in the city and how do you make it, how do we bridge that gap? And so that's the one thing that I do love. They didn't just say, no, we're not going to have it, but they're proposing things and saying, hey, look, how can we make this? Is there a tax, you know, that we need to, you know, implement on the owners, which I'm not a fan of, but you know, the conversation is there. I love being able to have the conversation than them saying no, none at all. So, again, that's what I do. I've got an Airbnb in the area. And so, it's a duplex and I rent out individual spaces, in the unit. And so, it's done really well. You know, sometimes you have people who come in and they want to visit, but I get a lot of pass-through people. Get tons and tons of pastor people. They say, hey, I just want to come and stay for the night. I just want to, you know, relax. And so I have TVs. I have diffusers in there. I put food for everybody in there in the fridge. So if you stay at mine, you get food. You get, you know, full access to the kitchen and everything like that. And so I got hair products for people like us, you know. Nice. So, it's nice, you know.
So you have churches in the area. You have the HBCUs.
Yep.
I mean, this is so rich in culture.
Yep.
So you got to have, okay, I'm just speaking this into the future when everything, you got some like annual event.
Yeah.
Party festivals.
It's coming.
Okay.
It's coming. So I'm working with some of the people who are working with me on the business district area who already have business in the area. They have a plan and we're working on it together, but I don't want to infringe on their right to, to let people know when they want to let people know, but it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really amazing. It's going to be fun.
Correct. This is so amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay. So even like funding, mm-hmm. Are you accepting private funds from investors or
no? Not for me. In particular, but what I will do is I'll help direct it. It's not that I don't want money. It's not very careful how I say this. It's not that I don't want money, but there's an easier way to keep everybody honest, right? So if you come to me and say, hey, Candle, listen, or you say, hey, Dwight, listen, I want to invest in the area. And I'm like, all right, cool. Look, I'm going to take your money. We're going to do this. And because you have a knowledge of it, you would know what's going on. But if I said, hey, Candle, listen, this is a house. Here's a project, right? Mm-hmm. This is what I see for this project. Here's a contractor. I've used this contractor before. He's mm-hmm. solid. Here's an HVAC guy. I've used this guy, used him before. He's solid, right? There's a very big difference there, because you can have your own project and then you can just say, hey, Dwight, can you stop and check on it for me? Absolutely, right? but in the first scenario, right. You know, if you don't know anything about real estate investing, but you have disposable income and you don't know me from whoever, I could run off with your money. You're like, man, who is this guy Dwight from Arkansas that took my money? And so,
but you sound so good on the podcast, though. I trust Dwight.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. But that's
what he's talking about.
But you know what? That's why I love working with investors. But I also I try to keep people honest. Like when you come in, it's like, listen, I know I would never run off with your money because I'm not going to anybody's jail. Right. But but I want to show you how to do it. And then if you have questions, like, look, I'm here. And if I don't know, I'll say, hey, look, I got a friend. Mm-hmm. He's a builder. He can, you know, do this. Or it's so much easier. And plus, when you're talking about trying to do the it's such a big project. I mean, even in this area with us having about 20 to 25 lots, Kim, there's still I could probably count about, man, probably 75 more lots.
Whoa.
70 lots probably that are still available in the area. And so I think the thing is it's all about, again, keeping people honest and saying, look, I'm going to set you up with the right person so you can kind of come in and do what you need to do. And then we can talk about it and I can help you get a feel for the area. Yeah. Help you understand. I'll take videos. I'll take pictures. I'll do anything I can to help assist with that. But that way, hey, if I have more money than you do, I'm not slowing you up and you're not slowing me up. And then if you have more than I do, you might be moving at a faster pace than I am. So that's why I say I like the idea of working and developing in concert versus just doing a JV. JVs are great, but I think JVs should be reserved for family. And sometimes that's even rough. But
right.
You know, developing in concert, man, is just a better idea, man, because you have two people who are knowledgeable about the industry and we can both kind of sit down and have an intelligent conversation about what we want to do and then just go from there. So
this is so amazing.
Yeah, I need you to come invest in. See, look, I need you to come invest in.
I'm like, how can I do this? Because I'm okay, so like me being in Georgia, you're in Arkansas, you have the resources available.
Yeah.
So pretty much you would be like the project manager.
Almost, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep, almost, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So hopefully, by the time this comes out, I'm in the process of getting my contractor's license. So hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll be able to do move a little bit further down. Yeah. But the biggest thing for me is I would put together a package and show people. The one thing I hate is when I hear people have these initiatives or these big processes where it's like, hey, I want to get people excited. And then you're like, but I don't know if I can trust this person. You know, I don't know if I really want to invest in a REIT because I don't know what contractors they're using or what, I don't know what's going on. I'm not investing in real estate trust. You know, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Versus me, you know me, I can sit, we can FaceTime, we can do whatever,
right.
And I can present something to you, and then I can show you, and then you can go verify it. You can call around and ask people. You can check, and I'm still gonna be here, right? And then I go back and do it little by little until you're ready.
Yeah, but and then it's yours. It'll be mine. It's the name, everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why ownership is so important, because I'm like, listen, do not give away this generational wealth. Like this is, I call it that, but like you're giving it away. Like once it's yours, once that land is yours, you can do whatever you want with it. Right. So you can take your time as long as you're paying the taxes and keeping the grass cut, you know, the rest is here.
Wow. So that is like a part of the agreement, is that it has to be ownership.
Yeah. I would prefer it. I can't tell anybody how to invest or use their money, but I mean, it's just when you're talking about lots that are sub 10K, sub 5,000. I mean, there's a couple of lots that I've gotten under $500. There's some that I've found that are, you know, under $4,000. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things. You want to own it. You want to try to own it and just take your time. Like, there's no rush. We get it. Again, everybody wants to be like, buy the land, put a house up. And
it's not that. It's not that.
Slow down.
Love this. Okay. Right. So we could reach out to you and say, hey, heard you on the podcast. Can you send me what lots are available?
Yep. So I'm adding a list. I have a list together full of people. And what I do is I'm working on sending out like a monthly email or like a quarterly email. I think quarterly might be a little too long because you know how the market is right now, but maybe a monthly and just saying, hey, look, we really want to invest in the area. I like talking to people and saying, hey, is this a good fit? You know, are you sure? I don't want it to just be anything random. Like, let's just not put a series of duplexes up or, you know, so, I mean, let's get in line with the mission. Right. But then I can kind of sit down and say, hey, look, this is where it is. This is what's around you. You know how far you are to this. You know how far you are to this. I'll give you my opinion. And then I also then again, point you in the direction of the people that you need to talk to make that project happen. And I mean, it's challenging. And so again, that's why I said I would prefer people who are more experienced because I don't mind holding hands at all. I will do it. Right. But I mean, you know, in this business, it requires a lot sometimes. You've got to have boots on the ground and you also have to have people who know what they're doing. So
know what they're doing. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
This is so cool. This is so cool. Okay. So now we got to go into financial lit because I got to get into your mindset.
All right. Come on.
Because this is so good. And we got to do another interview later on.
I'm ready.
Follow up with this.
I'm ready.
Because I mean, yeah, you got to put this in a package and
I'm ready.
A consultant and start going to these little small towns where we need you, especially in areas where HBCUs are.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm down for it. That'd be something we'll have to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. So let's get into Financially Lit.
Okay.
What was the book that changed the financial game for you?
Oh, that's hard. There's not one.
Couple. Let's go.
Okay. So Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah.
Excellent one. I would even say Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter was a good one. I'll tell you another one that's a really good one that it changed the financial game, but it changed a lot of how I look at development is Powernomics.
I've heard of Power. Do I have Powernomics?
Yeah, Powernomics is by Dr. Claude Anderson.
And I do. It's right here.
Listen,
that book. That would be so mad.
That book. I thought I had it somewhere, but I probably in my other room. But that book is, that book is serious, man.
It's a game changer. Chapter one had me so angry. I just couldn't. I was like, okay, is it going to get worse? Do I have to do all of this to get to the mountaintop?
Right.
Because he gave nothing but the truth.
Right.
Ooh.
But listen, so I'm going to tell you why I love this book, because it has actionable steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actionable steps. I hate, having struggled in college. So let me start there first. Having struggled in college and then deciding to be in a classroom, it really impacted the way I teach. And so when I hear people explain things, I'm like, it's really important that we're answering what a person is asking, or we're asking them, do you understand it? So it's kind of like someone saying, hey, do you speak English? And the person doesn't speak English. And then you say exactly what you said, except louder. But I'm like, they didn't say they didn't understand you, or they didn't hear you. They didn't understand you. Right. Yeah. And so I love that book because it's really breaking it down step for step. It's not just saying this is what you need to do. It's not just telling you the what, it's telling you the how and the why.
Yeah. Right?
And so Powernomics, man, it's like, look, start with this infrastructure, do this. And that's why I said I think this model really could be taken into any city. And it's like, look, find you a city, find a place where there's open land or dilapidated homes, build it, and then rezone the plots. See if you can't get them to commercial, office space, you know, restaurant space. Let's put some food trucks in there. Let's do something, you know, let's grocery stores. Let's do something. Co-ops.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to be big. It could be 5 streets, 3 streets, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that's how you build a community for sure. Reparations are coming, so they're not coming.
Word one more time, like, can we just let that go?
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah. It's not gonna happen. Let it go. It's not.
Yeah. The best thing I can tell you is if a lot of people should be curious about why everybody wants your grandmother, your auntie's land for like $2,000 or $5,000. So just don't sell it.
Repeat that. Just don't sell it. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Yes. Yes, I'm like, y'all, the reparation, you have it. The wealth is right at your feet.
Yep.
It's been at your feet the entire time.
Yep.
But we're distracted by this term called the reparations. It's 40 acres and a mule. And I'm like, you got the 40 acres.
You already got it.
And the mule is a freaking your brain. I mean, it Google.
Yep.
Everything is here. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy though. You know, it's not easy, man. If I could go back and look on how many people, you know, that's why I think it's so important to have a tribe or have a group of people around you that's like-minded, because there's so many times like where I've had people who don't want to talk to me anymore. They don't understand why I'm like, hey man, come kick it, bro. Let's go out. I can't, I gotta, it requires a lot, because the people who are doing the same thing have everything they need at their fingertips. They make one call and it's done. I got to go figure out, all right, cool. Let me put this back for this lot. If I see these five, then I can, you know, so it's just a, you know, it's a save, it's a grind. And
it's a choice. You know, it's a choice.
Yeah. Pain of discipline or pain of regret.
Yeah. Cause I think the big misconception is like, once you get this done, everybody's going to be like, oh, it was so easy. No, it wasn't. You came in at the very end. You didn't see everything.
You wasn't shooting with me in the gym.
Yes. And I think that is everybody sees the after and think they can do it. Like, no, it's all of this beforehand.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. So that's why I'm very thankful for people in my corner that support. I'm very, very thankful for people that see it. And are willing to like really be a part of it in any small way. But it's, man, I can't tell you, like, you got to have a tribe, because you get tired sometimes and you're like, man, if you could only imagine how many times I've driven past lots and I'm like, dang, there's nothing there yet. Okay. Just it's coming, you know, or going to other places and seeing stuff developing and moving. I'm like, all right, come on. You got
to
keep on.
You have to have it. Like, I'm already building my lot, okay. Yeah. But do we have to have a contract saying that it's got to be complete by a certain time?
No, because here's the thing. Right. Again, this is why this is why this development concert idea, in my opinion, is so dope, because it's like, I'm gonna put the people in your place. I'm gonna put people in front of you that if you don't have what you need, you're gonna weed yourself out, right? So there's people that I might say, hey, look. I know an HVAC guy, he might be a little more expensive, but it's going to cost this to get it done. And they're serious people. You know, they don't have a lot of time to kind of play around. Hey, here's a guy who does, you know, foundations, or here's a guy who does electric, you know, you'll weed yourself out. And so there's, you know, I don't think there's a need for it, because the people who are serious and they're already investors. Now, what I will tell you, I do talk with people and say like, hey, how many projects have you done? Or, hey, are you comfortable with this? Yeah. Or like, do you understand this? And so that's why I've been kind of quiet, not because I don't want to tell people, but it's just like, I want people to understand, like, you're not going to just buy a house, buy land.
Yeah. Just watch the grass grow.
Yeah. It's
you got to do something with it.
Got to do something with it. And, you know, land sitting and nothing being done with it is actually worse, you know? So it'll take time, but, you know, be patient. So again, very, very excited about it. And hopefully we'll get people interested now and wanting to develop the area, people that look like us, and say, hey, look, I want to come down there and see if I can't buy a lot, or if there's a house that nobody wants anymore, let's buy it. Or even, hey, let's knock this house down and put something else up, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So what is one thing that you've learned about money that you didn't learn in school?
Oh gosh. Let me see. You have to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. Discipline is the root of everything. So you have to really, really be disciplined with money, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely why I like the book Richest Man in Babylon, because he's like, you really have to allocate your money before you get it and really stick to that. Like, a lot of people don't understand, even when you have a goal, it's good to do it for budgeting, but still, for a project like this, you really have to say, all right, well, cool. I'm not going to kick it. I'm not going to do this. I have to be disciplined enough to make sure that it goes in this particular direction. Another one I learned, and I actually heard it from Elizabeth Warren, is like the 50-30-20 rule of saving. And so you do 20% goes to your, let me see if I get it right. I don't know if I said it, but 50-30-20. So you do 50% goes to your bills, 30% is disposable income, and 20% is savings.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yep. And I really like that. I really like that. I know a lot of people will give it pushback, but hear me out. I like it because it's a plan. It says do this, put this money here, this money here, and this money here. The good part about it is that of that 30%, if you have more bills than 50% of your check, then that's a warning. That's like the red flag. It's like, hey, you're spending too much. Or it's like, hey, if you can't do what you need to do on 30% in 2 weeks or in the month, however you're paid, then there's a problem. And so I like that. It's like a check and balance system. So it's just basic stuff. I really wish in education that we spent like the last probably 2 years probably of like junior, senior high school, like identify if a person really needs to go to college or not. And then like, if you need to go to college, let's go to college. But if not, like, let's go get a trade. And I didn't understand that as a person working in education. I was like, nope, go to college. But man, listen, working in this field, and I'm telling you, I got degrees, and you run across an HVAC guy that's like, hey, I made 125 in 3 months, or hey, I made a welder that's like, hey, I made.
Can I give a shout out to my HVAC contractor, DeMarcus, and the boat.
I mean, good things. So I think we just need to talk about that because, again, we're giving people something to do, and then we're putting them on a path and saying, hey, look, this is what this looks like, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I learned in college with money wise. I should say all of that to say that.
OK, so if you had $5,000 right now, what would you do with it?
$5,000. If I had $5,000, I would just save it. I know that sounds crazy, but I actually would just hold it. Man, I think here's the thing. Cash is king. And the ability to be able to hold money is a challenge for a lot of people. And if you can just hold on to money when the time is right. I've heard people who are wealthy. I'll tell you this. I heard a person who said they've got about 400 properties and they're in my city and nobody knows them. They're, you know, real low key. If I say this, they'll probably blow up their spot, but they've got 400 properties. I'll say that. And their thing is always, if you can hold on to, like, rich people don't get rich just by saving. It's by saving money and then using that money when the opportunity is there. Yeah. And that was really powerful to me because they were like, hey, listen, I spend money, but I spend it when it's the opportune time. Mm-hmm. So like, we were having a conversation now with like the way the housing market is currently, where houses are not staying on the market, you know, for more than 24 hours.
Yeah.
When people are going 40,000 over asking price or 50,000 over asking price. I mean, just craziness, right?
Right.
And so here, the thing is, if that keeps happening in the next couple of years, you know, probably in a year or two, you know, foreclosure market it's coming, right?
It's coming.
And so foreclosure and typically between foreclosure, typically somewhere divorces. So that typically means the sale of houses or houses getting ready to go. And their thing is like, their big thing now is they're holding on to every dollar that they have, every coin that they have, because they're like, listen, when the time is right, when that happens, I'm buying everything.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm buying everything. So I'm like, all right, so there's a plan.
Yeah. That's it right there. That is exactly. And then they just live off the assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the dope part about it. Like, oh yeah, I got this Porsche. Yeah. 222 Smith Street, that's paying my Porsche.
Listen, that's literally the best way to do it. I think one of the best things that I did, it was kind of tough, but at one point when I moved back from, I was living in Texas for a while, and when I moved back, you know, I had, you know, a couple car notes, but I got rid of everything. I sold everything, you know, got some trucks, got some stuff that I wanted that was older, but I totally minimized my expenses. I mean, down to a minimum amount. And so, no bills, not that much stuff coming out, and that helped a great deal. But I know that's a challenge for a lot of people to do, because you're like, hey man, I got a 05 this or a 06 this, you know, or 2021. But I mean, it's just, again, pain of discipline or pain of regret. Which one do you want more? And for me, I care so much about family and making sure that at some point or another, I can create opportunity for them and my family so that they don't have to work. So that's the most important thing for me. I'm gonna keep going.
I love it. Yeah, that's so dope. I think for me, with COVID-19 taught me the biggest lesson, because all of the dresses that I had, spent hundreds of dollars, shoes, they were sitting in a closet, wasn't being used, wasn't being seen. And I'm just like, I will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever do this yeah. again. Because since COVID, I've been wearing now the t-shirts, jeans, and flip-flops.
Yep.
And I've had more money than I've ever had. And yep. I'm just like, I will never do that again.
Yep. Man, I'm telling you, you start seeing stuff. Like I said, the person who's got the properties, man, you know, they pull up in an old Honda.
Yes!
That's yes! old Honda. And I'm like, man, like, why don't you buy some? No need. Don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest, this lady, it came out of nowhere. She was Asian.
Uh-huh.
And I was working for a church, and we were going to look at this commercial property that she had to rent it out. And then she was saying a lot of real estate terms that nobody understood, but I did because I have mm-hmm. a real estate license. So when I was responding, she pulled me to the side when we were leaving. She's like, hey, I got some properties I want to sell. Can you come back and talk to me later? I'm like, oh, absolutely. I'm a girl. So I come back like in realtor mode, dressed and ready in a dress and car, all the nails done, hair done, everything big. And she just looks at me just like in... not disgust, but like disappointment.
Yeah.
And she's like, my dear, she stopped the presentation. Let's talk. And she wrote down everything. And I still have that paper. I don't have my journal in front of me. But she gave me a list of all the properties that she wanted to sell. It was like close to 15, all paid for.
Yep.
And on the back, I literally just started writing everything that she was saying. And she's like, the first thing, number one, stop looking like you have money.
Wow.
This is going to be your downfall. And I mean, leading that day, I polished my nails. I started rethinking how I could go about doing sales. And I realized that I didn't need to wear the heels and have the long hair. It was like more so I knew the knowledge. So that's all I could sell with that. And I'm like, okay, this is all I need. So I just went to blazers and a t-shirt, jeans, something just comfortable, but I was still business savvy.
Yeah.
But when I tell you that lady changed my life,
yeah,
she was like, this car right here, because I had like a Lexus RX350. She had a like a Honda hatchback, literally. And but yes, she had these 15 properties paid.
Yeah.
And she was like, see that's my car. I shop Goodwill. What you need clothes for? I mean, she was already like getting it before COVID hit. This lady here has changed the game.
Yep. I think when you get to a certain point, I don't know if it's a code that rich people have, but they drive Hondas and Toyotas. That's what they like, basic car.
Yeah.
Everything paid off. And it's like, look, I don't care what anybody's talking about. This is what we're doing over here. Hitting the path. So
Another connection, like right before COVID, not back in 2019, I had my this deal. And I promise you, I had a client. I told her, like, this is the strategy we're going in. We're going to go and we're getting some equity in this property. Because her long-term goal was she wasn't going anywhere. I said, well, we got to find something where you can just pay off this thing and you're entering with some money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. She needed a roof on this house. The clients are like, oh, we'll put a brand new roof on the house. Instant freaking $7,000 off the rip because they were putting a brand new roof on their house. She was a single mom. So we get to closing. And the realtor was so sweet, the listing agent. And she's like, yeah, my couple, they're on their way. We've been closing all day. Like, what do you mean you've been closing all day? Oh, yeah, this is like our 13th property. They're pretty much selling everything in their portfolio and moving to Florida. This couple comes in, driving in with that Honda hatchback, the same one. They got on Florida t-shirts, some shorts, coming in, all these checks, and every one of those hot properties were paid for. And I'm like, I've got it wrong.
I'm telling you, man, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing to see that. And I think for me, even what's frustrating is that there are some groups of people who they get this from the time that they're young. Like this is the mentality that they already have. So it's like us having to work into it when you're in your 30s, sometimes 40s, you know, like when you get it. You're like, all right, cool. We're here. But to be able to do some of these projects or do some of the things that we want to do, it's not that we can't do it. It's just that that's not where our mindset is. Our culture tells us to work, get a good job, you know, go flex or do whatever we need to do. So we got it. And it's like, man, there's people here that's like, they don't care about what they got and or what things look like. But they're like, hey, I got these 20 properties, you know, or I got this. And you know, that's why I say I never even get into the amount that I have too much, because I know people who don't look like me, who have so much more.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, people are like, oh man, you got, you know, 25 properties set aside for this project. And you might have, you know, I got a couple more, about 10 or 15 more personally. But it's like, when you sit down and you're talking to somebody who says, I've got 400,
crazy.
Like you have to, like the room gets quiet. Like, yeah. So you're saying you make six figures a month. Okay, I got you now.
Or and just passively. Like.
Yeah, and they still work. They're still very.
Of course they do.
You know,
they do it for fun. I mean, they have no pressure, and they're mm-hmm. probably the best at their job.
Yep. Absolutely. And so it's stuff like that. I'm just like, man, I want to get there. I really want to get there. That's all I can say is like, that's amazing that someone thought about that or whenever they thought about it and are at this point in their life where they're saying, hey, look, I can relax and just be good at a passive income.
I think it was episode 38, mm-hmm. How to Joint Venture with Cleon Coleman. He's my mm-hmm. high school classmate.
Okay.
For example, he has properties, a lot of properties. I'm not going to put him on blast how many he has, mm-hmm. but he pretty much said in the interview how he lives off the assets mm-hmm. and he just goes to job to work. Just he's like, okay, I'm working and I'm just going to take that money to buy more properties.
Yeah.
This is the thing. He's like, but it's no pressure on me, Kendall. I just do it because I want to do it and I have fun. I enjoy it. And he's the number one pharmaceutical sales rep.
Wow. Yeah, I want to get there. I'm not there.
You know, right.
Kendall, there's pressure on me.
Right.
You got pressure. Not there yet. But, you know, we got to get to that point, man.
Yeah.
The more people that we have who get to that level, like I said, like your classmate. I always forget my frat brother's name, Dr.
Bernard Hodges.
Yeah, Dr. Hodges. The more people that we know like that exist. Mm-hmm. And the young man from Dallas who's a developer, you know, I'm like, adults need to see that, you know, it can be done, but it's just it's truly a mindset shift. Like you have to get out of that, like work a job because this is what we need to do. It's like, hey, let's take a risk. Let's dial back in some other areas and figure out how we can do this. And don't worry about if people are laughing at you. They'll be all right.
They'll be all right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So what is your goal after you complete the Meadowbrooks district?
So after we finish up Meadowbrook and Art Street, I would definitely like to create something that's like some type of pamphlet or something that's replicatable, if that's a word, in another place that you can replicate in another place. That's definitely a goal. I'm definitely working on a book, so that's going to be a really cool thing. I think big goal for me, I'm definitely going to get back to more investing for personal use. For personal reasons, because I want to get the numbers up. You know, I want more.
You gotta get your 400.
Yeah, man. Let me have 500. I'll take it. I'm taking. You know, listen. Going back to this. Look, hustle harder, hustle smarter. Book. I love this. He was like, 50 Cent said, I never plan on retiring. He's like, people always ask me like, when is enough enough? But he was like, life is a journey, not a destination. So he's like, I love what I do, so I want to keep on going. So mm-hmm. as long as I have an opportunity to invest and as long as I have an opportunity to kind of be that cornerstone for my family and for later generations, I'm going to keep on going. So I really want to get some more properties, and I plan to use that, leverage that into some other industries. Right now, the main one I'm picking my head into is trucking. And I've kind of been working in that space, and that's a good space. Uh-huh. So that's all I want to do, man, is just kind of sit back and relax. So. And put in work on those industries. I'm not retiring. I got a lot more.
Oh, no. You just getting started.
Yeah, man. Hey, so
how can we find you?
So definitely, you can reach me on Facebook, D. Hall Homes. You can reach me on Instagram, D. Hall Homes. And I've got projects there that you can see some of the work I've done. So that way, you know, I'm not just talking crazy. I'm not some Yahoo out here. But you can reach me. My number's there. I never mind talking to people. I love working with people. Hey, if you hear something that I've said that's incorrect, because I still get schooled all the time in real estate. But if you hear something I said, call me and tell me that. Be like, hey, I love your project, but this could be better. You know, I love it. So, but I really want to help people and work with people. So please feel free to call me, you know.
We'll have everything too on your website, on the website as well, lightingatrealestate.com.
Perfect.
Information will be there too. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share?
No, I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about a lot of stuff. I think we talked about identifying properties. We talked about looking over properties. We talked about developing the area and knowing how to pick properties. So yeah, I don't think we pretty much covered everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then finish this last sentence for me.
Okay.
My life in real estate is
a blessing. Yeah, a blessing.
Love it.
Yeah, y'all blessing. And I'll say this, a lot of people say that, and I'm not saying that to sound cliche, but I think everybody's here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you find your purpose, you've literally found why God put you here. And so you, your purpose is meant to help bless people, right? God gives you something to do to help people. So it's, mm-hmm. it's about service. So I think it's a blessing because I found something that I love. I love real estate, mm-hmm. But I also want to help people. I think that's the most important part. And I'm really, really serious about getting the right people in the area. So it's a blessing because I really want the opportunity to help put good people in good homes in a good community. If we can get some nice homes, some nice built homes under a certain price point, as low as I can get them, that's what I'm going for. So it's definitely a blessing. I truly enjoy this.
You can tell. Because this was just effortless for you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. This was so good. Thank you for being a light and being on the podcast. This was so good.
Thank you. I'm telling you. Thank you for having this podcast. Thank you for even reaching out to me. When you reached out to me, I thought it was a joke. I was like, it's not Candle. But I really appreciate it. This has really been cool. Thank you.
Nice. Nice. And you are welcome to come back anytime. Seriously.
I appreciate it.
If you want to learn more about Dwight, just go to the website, lightinguprealestate.com. You'll get all of the show notes. You'll get his contact information and even the resources as far as the books and the websites that he mentioned in this interview. That's all for now. Stay safe, stay sane, and stay lit.